This lesson is preaching in children's church. Preaching is probably not the most neglected area by far. In fact, in independent Fundamental Baptist churches, it is the most emphasized part of children's church. But it is an area that we can still have improvement in. In fact, I don't know of probably any ministry in any church that probably could not stand for some type of improvement. And what I want to do is give you some things that I've learned in preaching to young people, and some things I've learned to help effectively get a message across and to make it stick. A lot of times that we preach a sermon just for the sake of preaching it, but it just doesn't stick. I've stumbled across some things that the story sticks in their mind. I remember I taught, in fact, a lot of my experience and a lot of my training ground in this was when I was in college my sophomore year. We had a couple of bus routes around Saturday. We just did not have room for them up there at Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And there was three buses that ran. One of the buses switched back to Sunday. It was really rough. They tried to transition. It did not work. But two of the routes we built up completely on Saturday. And I was on one. The bus captain's name was Kevin Spears. And he's, at this moment, he's in charge of the Church Bus News. He's the managing editor. If you get that publication, I highly recommend it. It's churchbusnews.com. If you don't, it's great, just very practical stuff. Wally Beebe founded it, and Brother Fugit up there took it over a few years back. But a great deal, great resource, if you don't already get that and aren't already aware of that. But anyway, I was on his bus route, and there wasn't a whole lot of kids coming on those two buses. I mean, a big day, we might have 70, 80 total between the two. And we only had, I think, maybe four classes. We had the 3 and 4 year olds, the 5 and 6 year olds, the 7 and 8 year olds, then the 9 and up was basically the way we divided that. And the in fact, if my who would become my wife was teaching the 5 and 6 year olds. Well, she ended up having to stay home for a semester due to some health reasons, and there was an opening for that, and they asked me, well, why don't you fill in for that till we find somebody? And I ended up staying and teaching that thing for the whole spring semester of college until I came home for the summer, and then somebody else took it over and everything. But for that period of time of that spring semester of my sophomore year, I was every Saturday was teaching that class, and you know, I'm a preacher. I do teach, and I do like to stimulate minds and stuff when I preach. God's given me a gift for that, but I do preach. I'm not just going to get up there and tell a story. I'm not just going to get up there and lecture. I'm going to preach, and that's what I did to those kids. But some of the things I learned during that time, and some of it just out of pure desperation, but I'm going to tell you, I was able to make the Bible stories and stuff that I told stick in these kids' minds. I remember when we were taking the kids home, that Brother Kevin would do, in fact, I've done it too. It's a great thing if you can do it on the bus route. He would give a piece of candy to every kid that could tell them what they learned in Sunday school. And, you know, normally you could weed through the ones that were just faking it, and usually they all end up with a piece of candy anyway. But we would go around and we would ask, you know, hey, John, can you tell me what you learned in Sunday school today? And it was Sunday school on Saturday, go figure. But anyway, we always laughed about that too. We never knew exactly how to promote it because Saturday school just doesn't work. But anyway, I'm getting way off subject there. But we'd go around to these kids and we'd ask them, hey, what did you learn? And they say, well, I learned about Moses. Oh, well, that's good. You know, what did Moses do? Well, he parted the Red Sea. Oh, hey, that's great. Here's a piece of candy. And you go up to the one, and the classic answer, and I still use this, they'd look at, you know, say, what did you learn? They'd look up to you and say, Jesus, that's good. Now, what did Jesus do? And they'd look back up at you and go, Jesus. Well, we usually felt sorry as little kids, and, you know, well, you give them a piece of candy anyway, you know, just for the sake of being fair. And they, you know, they were just usually little kids and didn't have very good fences, man, anyway. But we would go through and do that, and it was a great thing. And after the kids learned they'd get a piece of candy, they usually learned to listen and at least get some idea of what was going on so they could tell us. And a lot of times we knew exactly what people were preaching about, so it wasn't no big deal. But anyway, after I started teaching that class, we would go around and do that, and he would go up to my kids, and mind you, they're 5, 6 years old, not the greatest attention spans in the world, and they could go back and tell the entire story that I told. I mean, point by point, not miss a detail, and would sit there and tell them the entire Bible story. It was amazing. I'm not bragging or lifting myself up by any means in saying this. I'm just, I want to give you some reasons to listen to me. But I want to tell you, I learned some things and stumbled across some things and observed some things that really helped me be able to make those stories stick. And these same things that will apply if you're wanting to, push for salvation, same things apply. You've got to make the story stick. You've got to make the lesson stick in these kids' minds. So I want to talk a little bit about that in this lesson. And listen, just because you have a good truth doesn't mean that it takes just because it's good. That's a good Southern term there, that it just takes. But just because it's good doesn't mean it works. You can have a great truth and fly right over the kids' heads. It is really easy to do. And sometimes you can have a not-so-great truth and really make it stick. What's the difference? It's not the truth. It's what you deal with it. What you do with that truth that really makes it work. You've got to get it on their level and explain it in ways they can understand to make it work. Preaching needs to be the centerpiece of your children's church. Everything else builds up around it. The song leading prepares for it. The invitation reaps the harvest from it. And the fun time is just there to keep the kids' attention, to keep them excited so that you can preach to them. Everything revolves around the preaching. It is the centerpiece. The main part is the most important part. Don't let your kids go to the bathroom if you can help it during this. I mean, if they need to go to the bathroom, they do it in the song service or after the invitation, unless it's an emergency, of course. But this is the most important time. This is what everything prepares for. The kids need to be ready. This is really when you need people, your workers being on the guard for distractions and trying to keep distractions down and really intervening in situations that may escalate into being major distractions. But this is the time. This is what it's all about, is this preaching time, most important time of the service. Now, I'm going to admit there's not really one standard method or way of preaching to children. I found a way that works for me. A lot of people couldn't do what I do. And I will give you that little disclaimer up front. Some people don't work that way. Some people can get up there and speak very slowly and can just keep these kids' attention. I'm not that way. I've got to run around and act and fall out of chairs and do all kinds of crazy stuff to keep the kids' attention. That's just the way it works for me. And maybe you say, well, I couldn't do that. If your pride or dignity is getting in the way of keeping you from doing that, you need to completely get that stuff out of you and just work on being an effective preacher. But maybe it just does not fit your personality. And let me tell you, I'm about the most quietest person you'll ever meet. I don't even like talking to salesmen that like the you go to McDonald's. I don't even like having that little 2-minute conversation with the people at the counter. I don't like talking to people. I am about the most quiet, reserved person you'll meet. But I am a wild man when I get up there and preach. In fact, a lot of people were disbelieved it was me actually preaching back there when their kids came back and told them. When I was I came home that summer after that and had the opportunity to preach, and I think I did David and Goliath. That's kind of my fallback one. And when I'm doing it, when I'm Goliath, I stand up in the chair and I stomp, and when the rock hits me in the head, I do both sides usually, but when the rock hits Goliath in the head, I fall out of the chair, and I mean, I make a big deal about it and hoop and holler and scream and run around, and I have a big time. I enjoy it as much as the kids do. But I remember this one lady in our church, her grandson was telling her after service about me preaching there, and was just going on and on about what all I did. And she said, "Are we talking about the same Matt? Is that really Matt?" is that my map that, you know, that I taught in school and stuff? And she didn't believe that it was me. But I found something that works for me, and I think even if maybe you can't do exactly what I do, some of these principles and things I want to give to you will help you. And I do have quite a bit here. I think, let's see, I've got 12 points here in the notes, and I could probably think of some more as we're going through here, so just hold on. First thing I want you to really keep in mind is that you need to keep it simple. You don't need to go very deep in the Bible, or you're going to lose kids. You don't need necessarily even use a lot of scripture. That may be a point I don't exactly remember here, but you need to keep it very simple. Simple truths. Don't preach big doctrines. Preach little doctrines. And don't preach multiple doctrines. Preach simple things. If you want to preach about God loving you and Jesus loving you and things like that, that's great. Don't get off on other things. Don't go over it. Don't get much past John 3:16. Keep it very simple. When you're dealing with simple minds, these kids can't go very deep. They're not adults. Keep it simple. You've heard about the KISS rule. Keep it simple, stupid. Some people clean it up and don't have stupid in there, but the KISS rule applies directly to preaching with kids, and really the entire children's church service. You need to keep it simple. Keep it on their level. You really cannot lower the level of your sermon too much. There comes a point to where you possibly could be, you know, down the 4-year-old's level and miss the 10-year-old, but you need to kind of shoot for that median age there, the average age, and make it stick. Don't get too deep. As I say, there's probably not a danger in you getting the level too low. I don't see that happening. It could, but I doubt that you will be able to do that. Second thing that I have learned that really helps me is I use Bible stories. I found that's the most effective way for me to preach to young people is to preach a story. And what I'll do is about 2/3 of my sermon is the story. And I may interject preaching into that and bring up points, but for the most part, for 2/3 or so, maybe 3/4 of my sermon, I am telling a Bible story. David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den. I preached, actually, the previous Sunday. Not that it really matters as you're listening to this. It'll be way in the future, but I preached on the handwriting of the wall in Daniel. And that works best for me. It takes up time. You don't worry about what you're going to say, and it keeps their attention. Next thing is have one truth per sermon. You don't need to try to hammer a whole bunch of points when you're preaching to little kids. You can mention some things off, you know, as little side notes. It may not be. You may be preaching on, as I say, Jesus loves you in John 3:16, and may throw in something about bullying. But nonetheless, you need to stick to one truth. This is where I think a lot of people get in trouble. They try to preach a 4-point outline with 4 points going 4 different ways. Have one main truth. Have one main truth and illustrated by a Bible story. And just have this one truth, this one goal. The whole place you're driving this sermon is one thing. The only possible exception to this is if you are preaching a sermon, let's say you're preaching a sermon on obeying your parents. That's worth preaching a sermon on. A lot of kids need to hear that. But at the same time, you don't want to let these kids get away without you presenting the gospel. That is really the only case I would say that you can really split it up and have two points and be effective. You don't need to necessarily make it two distinct sermons. It takes some practice and some planning and really a lot of thought to make it blend very well. But it doesn't necessarily have to. I'm not saying it has to, you know, all come off the story you tell. You can throw in salvation at the very end and really just come right off the wall with it if you want to. But you need to preach the gospel to these kids. That's the only exception I have. But listen, same thing, that this isn't in my notes. You can't preach salvation every week. You need to give these kids something to grow with. We get in trouble. I think entire independent fundamental Baptist churches are in trouble because we don't get past the first third of the Great Commission. We get a lot of folks saved, but we are horrible about getting them baptized and getting them and discipling them. That's why these groups like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they snatch them up because they actually will spend some time and disciple them. Now, they're not discipling them in the things that are right. And little kids are a lot the same way. You can preach all you want to about salvation, but once a kid's saved, they need something else. They need a little bit extra. So you don't forget those church kids that are in there. If you've got, like we do, an audience of church kids and an audience of bus kids all mixed together. The bus kids really probably need the salvation. There's a lot of them that may not be there next week. Those church kids are there every week. They need something to help them too. And it takes some planning. It takes some thought to be able to have something for everybody in the room. But that's just a side thought that you don't need. You need to give the kids something, whether it's just obeying parents or getting along or not cheating in school. I mean, there's a hundred different things those little kids need to hear. Not watching bad movies, etc. You need to throw all that stuff in there too. Fourth thing, be animated. Don't stand behind the pulpit and not move and just talk. You'll lose the kids. Motion captures the eye. It's impossible. Yeah, how many times have you been sitting there and all of a sudden see something flash by and you turn your head to see what it was? That motion catches your eye, and it works to keep the kids' attention. You need to be animated. You know, wave your arms, stand on a chair, jump around. It is very effective. Don't stand in one place. That's something a lot of people are guilty of, even preaching to adults. Fifth thing, very similar, vary your volume. Don't be monotone. Sometimes you need to scream and yell. Sometimes you need to get real quiet. In fact, let me tell you something. I didn't believe this. I hope that picked up on the microphone. I didn't believe this. I was listening to a lecture I downloaded off the internet from somewhere, and it was Brother Jim Vineyard talking about running a children's church service, and from when he was up at First Baptist in Hammond, and he talked about whispering, and I thought, no, there ain't no way. No, the kids will lose if you get quiet. This was during the time that I was teaching that Sunday school class, and I thought, well, I'm going to try it. Well, the next lesson happened to be about the spies that went into Canaan. And so I talked about how those spies, they snuck around and they look at, wow, look how tall those giants are over there. Wow, look over there and see those giant grapes. And I did just that. I talked real quiet and we kind of snuck around. I had some kids follow me around. We were sneaking around the room and looking at stuff. I'm going to tell you something, those kids were glued. I wouldn't have thought it, but it worked. Varying your volume works. No, don't just scream and yell the whole time. I want to choke some people for doing that. Let me tell you something. You can't do it with adults, but you can do it with kids, and that is whisper. Get quiet. The kids, it attracts those kids' attention quick. It doesn't work with adults. You whisper with adults, you lose them. But with kids, it works wonders. Six, make it fun. Preaching doesn't have to be all straight-laced and grave and just no fun. You need to make it fresh and exciting. I call it the Mary Poppins rule. We remember the song from the Mary Poppins movie, you know, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And that is a key to running the entire children's church, but it is very true in preaching. You need to have some fun things. Make the kids laugh. It's okay for them to laugh. It's okay to be crazy. It's okay for it to be fun. Don't preach it to be fun. Fun is a tool you're using to drive the message home, but it is very effective. You need to have some fun. Seventh thing, avoid reading a lot of scripture. I'm not saying don't read any, but if you try to read a whole chapter or you constantly are asking kids to look up verses, you will lose them. In fact, if your group is anything like ours, maybe one in seven kids even have a Bible. Of those, they're probably not even have theirs open or even looking at them. That's something we need to address and get some more Bibles to some of these kids. But they usually don't know where the passages are. It takes them forever to find them. You have to have workers out there helping them find the book of Nahum or even the book of Mark or Matthew or Genesis or Revelation. They're all difficult to find for these little kids, and they're usually not very good readers anyway. But I've just observed that when you try to read a lot of scripture, you lose their attention. Keep it down to one or two verses. I'm going to tell you, honestly, I think it's best, and this is going to sound very radical, but I think it's best that you probably not even have the kids turn to the verses. Just read them. And honestly, it's probably best just to quote them on the fly. Don't make a big deal about it. Now, I mean, it would be pure heresy in the Baptist church to preach a sermon to adults and not have a text verse. I mean, it'd be very odd. It does take place every now and then, but it's kind of a tradition deal. But with little kids, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't use a whole lot of scripture. And maybe you'll disown me and turn me off and not listen to anything else I say, but I'm going to tell you something. You will lose a lot of kids if you try to read a lot of scripture. I keep my Bible open to the chapter. I'll reference it, and I will read verses, but I will not usually read more than one or two verses. I will reference it, and I'll say, well, you know, the Bible said this, and I may read a phrase out of it, but I don't read a lot of scripture. And if you read a lot of scripture, you will lose it. I'm telling you, and you may not see this when you're up there. But I'm going to tell you, the people out there working will see it, that you lose the kids when you read a lot of scripture. Number 8, if you're still listening after the last point, is use props when appropriate. You don't want necessarily getting stuck in a rut of doing so and thinking, well, what can I do that? I can use a prop. But it's very effective to use to make a point. I've got an example in here. I preached at during our children's church, during our vacation Bible school. And I preached a sermon on the parable of the lost coin. What I did is I got somebody to go to the bank for me. I wasn't able to because of work, but I got somebody to go to the bank for me and get me 10 big silver half dollars. They're big enough to see. And we have, you know, 200 kids a lot of times at our vacation Bible school, and have them all in the auditorium. I want them big enough so they can see. So I got those great big silver half dollars. And while I was preaching, I got them, and I got a little pouch, and I would hold them up, and I'd say this, you know, I talked about the lady, she had 10 coins, and I counted them, 1, 2, and I held them up so everybody could see it, and the kids were glued. Now, I'm going to tell you what I did, and I can't believe I pulled away with it. I told her how she'd hide them, and I hid the little pouch, I set the little pouch over in the piano, and I thought she'd go over and count them, and I'd get them out and count them. Well, I palmed one of them. Just, you know, the simple little magician's trick that a lot of people do. I palmed the coin, and I set it down in the piano right next to that pouch. And I preached a little bit, and I tell them the story, and I got it back out, and I counted the coins again, and there was only 9. And I'm going to tell you something, the kids were mesmerized. And I looked all around, ran around the pulpit, and I did all kinds of stuff. And then finally, I went over there when it was appropriate time and went over and found that coin and pulled it out of there. And the kids gasped. They were amazed. And I mean, it was very, very simple. I can't believe I didn't think it would work, but it worked great. Well, I preached this, you know, week before last in the children's church. I had an opportunity to do so, and I preached about Belshazzar and the writing on the wall in the book of Daniel. And what I did is, before the kids got back there, I got a couple of pieces of white paper, and this was kind of dangerous. I didn't think about this at the time, but our fellowship hall has those big I don't know what you call them, like cinder blocks, is what the back wall is made out of. And they're painted this white color. So I got this white printer paper. I cut it out so it actually fit in between the cracks of those bricks. So it was just face covering just one brick. I got two pieces put like that, one above the other one. And I put that up for the kids. I figured they'd see it. Nobody saw it. I got to preaching, and I talked about how the hand wrote on the wall. And I had a crayon I'd hit up on the podium, and I went back there and I started writing. And people thought I was writing on the wall. That's the dangerous part. I hope none of the kids went home and started writing on the wall. I didn't hear anything about it, but it was very appropriate. It got the kids' attention. It had them mesmerized. They were had them freaked out a little bit that I was writing on the wall. But just very simple things, and I can tell you a bunch of things like that that I've done. I've got a sermon I've used, and I've preached it quite a few times with kids. I call it the baseball sermon. I do the 4 points of salvation. That you're a sinner. There's a price for that sin. Jesus paid the price for us, and you know we call on Him through faith, and He saves us. And those 4 simple points, and I use it as a baseball. And I talk about the one's first base and second base, third base, and home plate. I preached that in the vacation Bible school a year or two ago, and I actually got some bases that we had used for a Christian school. I got those bases and taped big words on them, and I had like center and I can't remember the other words I've used. I hadn't really got a set practice on which words to use, but I got a piece of paper taped on there and had this big word, you know, sin. And I'd hold up that base, you know, this is first base, sin. Everybody's a sinner. And illustrated the point. Worked very well. Something you can do, let's say, don't get stuck in a rut or think you have to do it all the time, but it's something you can use very effectively. Well, I'll have to move on. I could probably talk on that for a while, but the ninth thing I have down is keep it on their level. This doesn't just apply to vocabulary and structure and such. It involves the subject matter too. When I will be preaching, I will go to mentioning things, you know, kids shouldn't do, or, you know, illustrating what sin is, I'm not going to talk about necessarily smoking marijuana. I might mention it. I probably won't even mention, you know, pornography. I got to be on these kids' level. So what I'll do is mention fighting with your brothers and sisters, not doing what your mom and dad say, cheating in school, cussing. You know, some of these other things, I think you need, some of these little kids need to hear. You know, you shouldn't watch bad movies. You shouldn't look at, you know, naked pictures or something like that. You know, you can find a very discreet way to word those things, but you need to keep it on their level. You know, we were kids once, and we remember those things. We remember what we did, and that's honestly the easiest thing to do is preach against the stuff you used to do when you were a little kid. I've also found the best illustrations work when they come from my own life. I like to tell stories about when I was little. For instance, before I got saved, I got saved when I was about four, but a little bit before then, I was, summer day was out in our front yard, me and my cousin, one of those little, you know, kid swimming pools, those little blue swimming pools that they have up at Walmart, and we were in that swimming pool, and we had a cat. We lived down on a dairy farm, and this cat walked by, this, you know, mama cat that we had as a barn cat, and we decided to give that cat a bath, and we got that cat, and we got it in the swimming pool, and we drowned it. We drowned the cat. However you say that, drowned, whatever. We killed the cat, and it suffocated in the water. It was dead. Well, we got in trouble for that. Well, let me tell you something. When I got saved, when Brother Horton was showing me the stuff in the Bible, as a 4-year-old kid, when he talked about being a sinner, can you tell you what I thought about? I thought that I was a cat murderer. And let me tell you something. The kids love that. It's maybe a silly little story. It's a true story. I really did think that. And I've actually heard Brother Knopf Singer, that used to be a Southern Indiana Baptist College. He taught at Commonwealth for a while. He has a very similar story about a duck that they nailed its feet to the floor and it died. Very similar story. We were able to kind of sympathize with each other in our salvation experiences because of that. Something I want to mention while I'm at it, avoid using pop culture media references. And what I mean by that is not necessarily, you know, mention, hey, well, you shouldn't watch Hannah Montana or Sweet Life of Zach and Cody or whatever those shows are. You know, I'm sure they're not fit to watch. I don't know enough about them to say that quite dogmatically, but I'm pretty safe in saying that. What I'm saying is don't illustrate your points by referencing them. Don't, you know, as I say, if I'm making a point about... Well, I can't even think of anything right now. Let's say stealing something. And this is old, and probably none of the kids nowadays would even remember it. But when I remember, I was, you know, I guess, I don't remember, 5th, 6th grade, and the movie Aladdin came out, the Disney movie, and how Aladdin was this, you know, street rat, and he stole the bread, you know, to live. He stole to eat and all that stuff. Well, you know, I'm not going to get up there preaching against stealing and say, now, some of the movies and stuff like Aladdin, boy, they say it's okay to steal, but it's not okay to steal. And I probably won't mention that. I mean, sometimes that stuff will pop in your mind, but I just think it's very vulgar to do so in the pulpit. And you don't want to give Hollywood credit and then turn around and say you shouldn't be watching stuff like that. I slip up and do it every now and then. In fact, I did a couple Wednesday nights ago. I referenced the relationship of the Baptist Church and the Catholic Church throughout history as being similar to Batman and Joker. And, I mean, just popped in my mind. Sometimes things like that happen. And may not be the best illustration. It works kind of effectively sometimes, but you don't want to get very specific if you do. If you can stay very very vague, it might work okay, but I would avoid using the pop culture and cartoon references, even if it's very innocent, you know, Mickey Mouse kind of cartoons, and I'm sure there's people listening to this that think that's not very innocent, and you've got a point. But even the very innocent type stuff, you just don't want to go there. The best thing you can do. The tenth thing I have, avoid mass participation. Example of this is asking questions. You know, who can tell me what this means? Have kids raise their hands and try to tell you. It's distracting. Kids lose their focus very easily when you're doing that. It does not work very well. I don't recommend doing that. Or you can ask things like, how many of you have a puppy? How many of you have a basketball? You know, you're illustrating a point or telling a story, and you're wanting to get kids, you know, wrapped up in you. It's like, how many of you like baseball? Stuff like that. Well, you ask something like that. If I ask how many of you like baseball, something like, I like basketball. I play baseball. Yeah, then everybody wants to tell you their story. And just don't let the kids have a floor to even voice their concerns or voice their opinions. It's the simplest thing you can do. It's tempting to do, and there's people that tell you that participation is a key to learning and stuff, but it does not work well when you're preaching. Now, I do have kids interact with me, and that's my next point, but I have kids come up and help me act out stories and stuff, but just don't throw it wide open. Don't throw it wide open. You're asking for trouble. 11th thing, use kids to act out stories. I don't like to do this every week. It's fun to do sometimes. I don't want kids expecting every week to have a chance to be in the story. But I, for instance, let's say I preach, you know, about Belshazzar. I had a kid come up and sit down and be Belshazzar. And he was sitting there in the chair. And I said, this chair's his throne. He's sitting here. And something I do when I do that, I'll say, okay, so-and-so come up here. You know, this case, who was his Junior Israel. I can't remember his name. I get him and his brother mixed up. But he came up there and saves Junior. And he comes up there, and I say, okay, Junior, you're going to be Belshazzar. You sit here. Now, Belshazzar is the king. So everybody say, now, Junior, here, he's the king. He's King Belshazzar. Everybody say, hi, Belshazzar. And all the kids say, hi, Belshazzar. Just, you know, simple thing. You'll make sure the kids understand this is who this person is supposed to be. But I had Belshazzar. I even had Daniel. You don't want to go overboard with this. You don't want to end up with six or seven people up there, but it works great if you have two or three people in your story. As I say, if I preach David and Goliath, I will usually be Goliath. I don't let a kid do that. Usually don't want kids to be somebody real evil, and kids will give them a hard time for that. But at the same time, sometimes I'll even be David in the story. I like to be able to run around, really illustrate it works well. Sometimes I will have a kid come up and be David, though. Not like I preach a sermon every week or something, have all these variations, but I've preached it, I don't know, five or six times at least. And every time I've done it a little bit different. But you can kind of fill out the needs and what you need to keep the kids' attention. But that's just a simple thing you can do, and it works very well. You can use those kids to illustrate things. Just don't have very many people, and don't expect a lot from them. Sometimes it's fun because it adds some spontaneous type stuff to it. You never know what they'll say. And some stuff I preached once about Nehemiah and how he kept building the wall even though the Sanballat and Tobiah tried to make him stop it, and I had Sanballat and Tobiah, you know, we'd laugh and do all kinds of, you know, shake our fists and act like we're threatening them and stuff that they did in the Bible, and I had the poor kid that was Nehemiah over there. He was banging on the wall the whole time, not banging too loud, but hitting the wall the whole time like he was working on it. And if he'd stop, I'd say, no, Nehemiah, you gotta keep building the wall. And poor kid, I mean, it was funny and it worked great, but he had to keep hitting the wall because he was working on the wall no matter what happened. Just some very simple things you can do. It's a great tool. And luckily we're on the last point here. I've already gone a little bit longer than I was expecting to, but the 12th and final thing I want to talk about is don't let kids distract you. That's what the workers are for. If you have some good workers, if you're up there preaching, you shouldn't have to worry about discipline problems. And workers, if you're listening to this, you need to be doing everything you can to keep him from getting distracted. If you've got some kids that start fighting or start acting up, you deal with it. Don't make the preacher stop. Don't get him derailed. I've been there, and it doesn't take much to derail my mind. And I get up there, and I'll lose my train of thought. And you can probably tell it's happened a few times, and even in listening to this. But that's what good workers are for. They're there to take that burden off the preacher. Now, something that does happen, kids will raise their hands, just like they train them to do it in school. They'll raise their hands and they'll want to tell you something, and you'll mention a puppy and they'll want to raise their hands and say, "I just got a puppy for Christmas." Well, that's great, that's good, and if kids want to participate, I mean, that's great. It means they're listening, but it does not go well for preaching. It's great for classroom, but not great for preaching. So the preacher shouldn't have to stop and say, "Yes, Susie, I see you got your hand up." Workers need to go up to them and say, "Hey, what do you need?" And sometimes it is something, "I need to go to the bathroom right now." Sometimes it's something like that. But workers need to take care of that. That's just some simple things I've learned in preaching. I'm not the greatest preacher. I've found that I can be pretty effective. And those are just some simple things that I have learned that I think will help you and help you preach effectively to children's. Remember, it is the centerpiece of the children's church ministry. It's the main thing, driving home your point, driving home the message that you have. Souls are saved by the preaching, not by the singing. And that's the main thing there is. And the next lesson, we're going to be talking about invitation and the evangelism and stuff in children's church, and I hope that that's a blessing to you as we reap the rewards that that we have just pursued and with the seeds we've planted in the preaching. And thank you. God bless you. Thanks for listening.